Sandy Clough and Sean Trotar, presented by Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook app and start winning today at superbook.com. Here's Sean and Sandy.
Welcome back to the show. The Colorado Avalanche's Jarrett Bednar mentioned after the game, as Sandy pointed out, hit and miss of late. They have a miss at home. They lose to the Winnipeg Jets 4-2. Joining us to talk about it and what's next for the Avalanche is Mile High Sports lead hockey writer Arif Dean. You can follow him on social at Run Right Arif. That's A-A-R-I-F, and the host of the Hockey Mountain High podcast for the Avalanche. Arif, thanks for joining us. Let's just start there. Not even this loss, but as Coach Jarrett Bednar talked about the team being hit and miss of late.
Last five games.
What are you seeing in that situation? The one game in which, you know, they had the most injuries, they ended up playing well. So, I mean, now you're talking about a team that doesn't seem to be consistent in its performance of late. Is there anything that you can point to?
I point to, there's a few things. There's a lot of guys that are, I don't even want to say not playing at their best, but just don't look good right now at all. There are others that are not playing at their best, and there's just a lot of inconsistencies. This is, you know, to get away from all of the positivity of the last couple times I've been on the show, it just feels like there's a lot of inconsistencies. This team has had a lot of turnover over the last couple of years, and you're starting to see just kind of like bits and pieces of a team put together, but not a complete team. And that's kind of the vibe I've been getting for a little while. The one thing I will say in terms of a positivity on that is I feel like every contender right now has a flaw, and their fan base and their local radio shows are all talking about how they need to improve in order to win the Stanley Cup, because no team is built perfectly like the Avalanche were in 2022 or Tampa Bay in 2020. But right now I'm seeing a team that's just bits and pieces of showing flashes of brilliance. But in the but for the most part, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered and a lot more to be desired.
One of those questions, and maybe it's the easiest one to answer because he'll get it going at some point. Mikko Rantanen, who seemed to be scoring at almost a goal a game pace through the first 18 games of the year, right?
Yeah.
Hasn't scored a goal in 8 games. What's going on there? He was -3 last night.
And he was -3 last night.
Terrible on the power play. I mean, and he wasn't alone. Other than McKinnon, they were all bad on the power play, especially on a 5-3 in the third period. But what do you think is going on with Rantanen? Or is it just one of those slumps that even great goal scorers go through?
Do you know how many minutes Mikko Rantanen played yesterday?
Yeah, I do. 27-17.
27.
Mm-hmm. And he was bad for about just everyone.
Yeah, he was far and away the highest on the team.
Yep.
By more than 2 minutes from the next guy as a forward, which you don't see, which is kind of wild because McKinnon played 25-01. Jonathan Drouin, who looked pretty good to me, played 25-22. All three of them played more than the defenseman Taves and Makar did, and Bowen Byram, who was at 20. But ultimately, what I'm seeing is Mikko's a fiery guy, and this is the first time I've seen this in a long, long time since that 2019-20 season, pre-COVID, the regular season aspect of that season. I have not seen Mikko in this kind of a rut where he's getting frustrated, and you can visibly tell he's frustrated.
Oh, he shows that. He shows it.
Yeah, he shows it. He shows it when he scores 12 goals in 13 games. When he misses an open shot. He's showing it even more now, having not scored in 8 games, playing 27 minutes, 6.5 on the power play, and getting 1 shot on goal.
Wow.
Just like, that is not a Mikko Rantanen number. 27 minutes and 23 shifts, he's averaging 111 per shift, again, because of those long power play shifts, because of those long end-of-game shifts last night, and has literally nothing to show for it. And that was the question that I asked Jared yesterday. Is part of Mikko Rantanen's ice time you trying to work him out of a slump? And he said, yes, absolutely. Our best players need to be our best players, and when you have a weapon like Mikko Rantanen, putting him on the fourth line with Olofsson and Kiviranta isn't going to wake him up. Trotting him out there every other shift and saying, figure it out and get it together is how you're going to get someone like Mikko. I've not seen anything like this since that 2019-20 season where he was less than a point per game. I think he had 40 and 44 or 40 and 42 before the COVID pause.
Right.
ever since then, including the playoffs in the bubble, he has just been like, you don't see him enter these kinds of slumps. And it's kind of, it's fascinating to me that he's there, because over, you know, the 50 something games beforehand, he had like 41 goals, I want to say, when you date back to last season. And now he's got 8 straight games without a goal. He doesn't do that.
Nope. Strange, but probably he'll break out. Here's a more difficult question, and give Mark Kisla credit in his column today in the Denver Post, when asked about the recent shift and apparent move of Ross Colton with Wood and Rantanen last night up to the second line, and Johansson's apparent demotion. He's playing now with Tatar and Kiviranta, with Nishushkin out on the third line. And Colton played more than 8 minutes more than Johansson did last night. Johansson, who was brought in partly because he's a better faceoff man than anyone the Avalanche had on their roster, only took 6 draws last night because he hardly played. So he only took 6, won 3, lost 3. And to Mark's credit, I think he characterized Bednar's answer as a testy one, and that was a fair assessment. It was like, well, I can. There's no law that says I have to play Johansson more than Colton. Well, yeah, okay. There'll be a few games where maybe there's a slight difference, but Johansson was brought in to be your second line center, and he's been getting 12, 13 minutes a game lately.
Yeah. The morning shift on December 5th against the Anaheim Ducks, the morning skate, I should say, for the December 5th game against the Anaheim Ducks, Megan Angley at DNVR asked Jared Bednar about Ross Colton's ice time surpassing Ryan Johansson's and how he can reconcile it. And he said, I don't have to. This is a direct quote from Jared Bednar. I don't have to. There's nothing saying that Ryan Johansson needs more ice time than Ross Colton. If Ross Colton's playing well and doing the job that he's doing, and then he's earning more ice time. I don't have a set limit for our guys. I'm watching them on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, month-to-month, and taking all the information I have and then distributing ice time accordingly.
Yeah, but that's not an issue. And for Jared Bednar, is usually very direct. That's a bit of a dodge. And it's a testy response to a perfectly legitimate question. And my sense is it's a testy response because Bednar knows it's a problem.
And his team's lost 4 or 5 games.
And well, yeah. But also, he knows it's a problem. They don't have a second center, period.
Bingo.
Or exclamation mark. They don't.
I don't see it as a dodge. I see it as him saying, Ryan Johansson's not playing well. I'm not going to play him. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I see.
But that's not quite what he said.
Yes.
He said Ross Colton was playing out of this world, so he's earned more ice time. And okay,
no.
8 minutes?
No. He said Ross Colton's playing well, but the start of the quote is, there is nothing saying that Ryan Johansson needs more ice time than Ross Colton.
Direct coach, that's a dot.
Oh, you guys are still you guys are coming to the same conclusion, though. That the
we're coming to the same conclusion is that Ryan Johansson is not playing up to his role. He's not a second line center on the team right now.
Yeah, they don't have a 2C.
Bingo.
And so I'm saying, Bednar's doing a great coaching job. But Bednar didn't make the trade. And Chris McFarland did. And it sounds strange to say about a guy who scored 9 goals.
Right.
And played in every game. And he's been good on faceoffs. But he's a minus player. Colton's a scrapper, but you know he's not going to give
you 50 points. We understood
he was
a third line guy. I mean, I think everyone understood he was a third line guy. And so, the question I guess I would have, Arif, and we're talking to Arif Dean of Mile High Sports, for the Avs, who you know they've been making a lot of trades, and there's not a lot of draft assets or player assets that you could move that aren't going to sort of bring some challenges further down the road, and maybe while your championship window is open, you live with that and you'll pay the bill later. But at the same time, is there any sort of solution on the outside that the Avalanche could potentially make to find that center?
Whether there is or there isn't, or like whether I could think of a name off the top of my head, they need to find the guy. It's not Ryan.
Can they be on the roster? Can they be? Is there someone that could be coached up? Can they perform? Or do you believe they have to go outside the organization? Sandy believes it's.
They
have to go outside.
I believe they have to go out, and I believe they have to go out for two reasons. Number one, about a month and a half ago, I asked Jared Bednar when the Avalanche were going through their initial slump, the one where they lost to Seattle, got blown out by Vegas and St. Louis, et cetera. During that slump, I asked him, because Ross Colton was playing well at the time. I think he had 5 goals in 6 games. I said, is your lack of center depth stopping you from bringing Ross Colton up from the third line center to a top line winger or a second line winger? Because as you all remember, Ross Colton made his money playing on the wing in Tampa Bay with guys like Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, Kucherov, and he's playing on the point scoring with these superstars. I still love the idea and can't wait for the possibility of seeing a line of McKinnon with Colton and Rantanen. McKinnon being the center, Colton and Rantanen on his wings. The problem is you cannot do that because Ryan Johansson isn't giving you second line minutes. If you take Ross Colton off of the third line slash now second line, well, now your centers are McKinnon, Olofsson, and a Johansson you can't trust. So they do have to go outside the organization because you're not only trying to replace what Ryan Johansson is failing to do, you need center depth anyway. Frederik Olofsson was converted from a winger to a center to play on the fourth line because Ben Myers couldn't cut it. You replaced JT Compher with Ross Colton. You replaced what used to be Kadri's spot with Johansson. Now you want to take the Compher replacement and elevate him, but you don't have another centerman like Alex Newhook or Tyson Jost, those guys that are kind of fringe middle six guys that you can slot in as a three.
Those two guys aren't missed, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a clear hole in terms of center depth on this team, and it's been like that for a very long time. Since the days when they traded Duchesne and O'Reilly and kind of moved on from that era, there's constantly been center depth issues. But the difference is they always had guys in the pipeline. There was a young Tyson Jost, a young JT Compher, eventually a young Alex Newhook. You signed this kid named Alexander Kerfoot out of Harvard. You kind of had all these options, but now those options have all withered away, obviously, along with the Nazem Kadri that you got for Kerfoot and a defenseman. You don't have any other guys in the system. You have Callum Ritchie, who's a centerman who's in the system, but he's 18 years old. That's not an Alex Newhook. That's not somebody who's ready to step in like Tyson Jost when he was 20. So they need somebody from outside the organization for that reason. I think what makes the Avalanche so unique is if they were healthy, which they're not, but when I mean healthy, I mean legitimately Landeskog included. What made the Avalanche so unique in that 2022 Cup year is a lot of teams built through their centers. Look at the LA Kings with Kopitar, Danault, and Dubois. Those are three magnificent centers, and any one of those guys would be a wonderful second-line center on the Avalanche. And one of them is playing third line on the LA Kings. What makes the Avalanche unique and different is when they won the Stanley Cup, they won it with four play-driving wingers. Nobody has four play-driving wingers. Every team has a guy in their top six who, not that I'm insulting him by any means, was like Milan Hayduk. When Milan Hayduk is giving you 30 goals a year, he's valuable. As soon as Hayduk stopped scoring, he was on the fourth line and out of the NHL. Every team has those guys. That's what Washington has in the guy who might break the NHL goal scoring record. But what the Avalanche had with Rantanen, with Landeskog, with Lehkonen, and with Nichushkin were four play-driving two-way wingers. You just don't see that in the NHL nowadays, to have four players with the high IQ that they had, all playing on the wing in your top six. That's why Burakovsky got demoted to the third line. So had the Avalanche had those four wingers all healthy, then yeah, you can roll with a McKinnon and a Colton at 1-2. You can roll with a McKinnon and a Compher like last year at 1-2. The problem is when you had Compher last year, you didn't have Landeskog the whole year, and then you had all the other injuries. So that's what the issue the Avalanche have right now is. You have guys like Drouin and Tatar filling into the top six, but on top of that, your second line center isn't where it is. In order to have your second line center be a guy who can be kind of a lower level player, you need to have those four play driving wingers. It's what the Chicago Blackhawks did for so many years. They had Kane, they had Hossa, they had Patrick Sharp, they had all of these play driving wingers in the top six, where behind Jonathan Toews, you inserted a 38-year-old Brad Richards or a 36-year-old Michael Hanzus and still won the Stanley Cup. That's the problem with the Avalanche right now.
He is Arif Dean. He's the lead writer for Mile High Sports and the host of the Hockey Mountain High podcast. Run Right, Arif, A-A-R-I-F, is the social media handle. That's the kind of depth and the kind of opinion you'll be able to get from Arif's work all the time. Appreciate it. Thanks for the time and the insight. And look, when you and Sandy both come on the same page, all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, now they need to make a trade. I'm going to Google it during the break. Let's see who they can get. Thanks a lot, Arif.
This is going to be a fun time between now and the trade deadline. There's going to be a lot of conversations to have about the moves they can make.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You as well. Thank you, guys.
The bright side,
I just
Sandy.
Want to say this mm-hmm. quickly, lest I be misunderstood.
Okay.
Jared Bednar is doing a fantastic
coaching
job
too.
This year. And he did last year. And I would say, if anything, even better than he did during the Stanley Cup year. And I'm talking not just about last year, but this year so far through what amounts to the first third of the season. I think he's done a sensational job. And the point of it, my characterizing the response as testy, is that, one, it's uncharacteristic, and two, I think it's revelatory in the sense that it's clear he's dissatisfied. Clear he's dissatisfied.
Well,
and it says more about how poorly he thinks Johansson is playing. And, I mean, his line mates last night, look, Kivi Ranta is a fourth liner
right.
who was up on a third line because they have an injury.
Right.
Or an illness.
Right.
Nichushkin. Tatar played 1347. Johansson's on the power play occasionally. Tatar isn't doing much on special teams that I can see. I mean, maybe at times in the second power play unit. He gets far more minutes 5-on-5 than his line mate Johansson gets last night. It's more about Johansson playing badly.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit, because I think some of the things that you and Arif were talking about, the equivalent would be you guys sort of had a 2-on-1 and you were skating at the exact same speed and missed a little bit of the passes, because I think you're getting to the same destination. I'm going to try to bridge the gap, because I think both of you are right, and I think the Avalanche have to deal with it. We'll talk about it next on Mile High Sports.
Such a good time, I'm having a ball.